Amen. Would you please stand as we sing our opening hymn together?
Martha's going to make a little journey up here. We're going to sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. There are some motions with this, right? If you know them, do them. And I don't want any little doing. I want some big doing. Look like you want to lift the Lord's name on high. Okay? I'm going to challenge you.
To the cross. longer exercise. Please greet each other before you sit down. You're a good-looking bunch out there, and friendly. I'm happy to be here today to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and I'm glad that you all came. I'm here really because Donald Trump was busy. I do welcome you, and I hope that you will feel inclined to make this your church home if you do not have one right now. And I encourage you to look through the bulletin, not during the prayer, but sometime during the service or after, and look to see what God leads you to be involved in this week. We have a lot of things going on, and it's a thankful time of year, and after Pastor Rohde says to be thankful and think about this all the time, I've seen that word everywhere. So I encourage you and me to always be thankful.
Amen. Let's continue to worship God with God's tithes and our offering. Thank you. God of bounty, God of life and joy and strength in times of trial. From you comes everything good. And from us comes right now our thanks and our praise. May they be pleasing to you. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And would the kids come forward?
How's everybody today? Okay, I want everybody to keep looking up this way for a little bit, okay? And we're going to quiz the congregation. They have a quiz today, but I have total confidence in them. I'm going to ask the congregation right now to recite John 3:16. Okay, let's listen. Can you believe it? They all knew that by heart. Not one of them. It wasn't on the screen. I didn't see anybody grab a Bible or open up their phone to read those words. They knew them. How cool is that? It is probably the most well-known scripture in the Bible. And if you watch maybe at the Vikings game today, I'm not sure, but this used to happen all the time. If you watch big sports games, there would be somebody sitting where the cameras often panned out, you know, and you saw the people that were sitting watching the game at the stadium. There would often be someone holding up a sign. Back in the day, I don't know if it still happens, that someone used to wear a big wig with lots of different colors. I don't know if that person is still there. I'm not really a big football fan, so I don't know if they're there. But they often will be holding up a big sign, that'll, a piece of paper that says John 3:16. And these are the words to John 3:16. So let's see if any of you guys have heard these words before. Can we say them together? Okay, let's go.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Wow. Now, have some of you heard that before? Yeah? Do some of you actually have it memorized or parts of it? Parts of it? All of it? Isn't that cool? How about that? You know, that Bible is a pretty big book, isn't it? Look at it right here. Look at that. That's a pretty big book. And these words, it's got pictures. These words come right out of that Bible, and they're so common that the congregation knew them without having to read them from anywhere. I wasn't showing them this. They knew them, and many of you knew them, and you will continue to learn them. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take them apart. We're going to take those words apart and see what they mean, okay? So let's start with, for God so loved the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe God loves the world? How about way far away? How about a friend of some of ours named, well, our nurse here at church, Nurse Doris, and our friend Julie are in Sierra Leone right now. That is a long ways away. You have to take a plane for a long time to get there. Does God love all the people in Sierra Leone? Yeah? Does he love old people? Does he? Does he love little babies? Does he love really, really skinny people? He loves them all, doesn't he? It doesn't matter who we are or where we are, God loves us all. And so when we say, for God so loved the world, that's what the Bible tells us. He loves the whole world, the whole thing. That makes me feel better. I like knowing that God loves the whole world. How about you guys? You like knowing that? And us being part of it, that's right. Okay, now it's going to get a little harder. Now, what does this one say? Okay, well, that gets a little harder, doesn't it? Can you imagine giving up something that you really, really love? That'd be really hard. And God let his son, he gave his son for us. He became a sacrifice. Now, that's kind of a big word and probably not one I'm going to tackle here this morning. You know it, yeah. But you can go home and ask your parents or your big brothers and sisters what a sacrifice is. And God sacrificed his son, and you know why he did it? Let's get to that. He did it so that, can you read those? Oh, my. What does it mean to not perish? What's that mean? Not to disappear. Yeah. Do you know what a perishable food is? What's a perishable food? It can disappear. It kind of spoils, right? At my house, if a banana gets too many brown spots on it, it either goes in the garbage or it goes in the freezer. Because to me, that's perishable. It spoils. Oh, and Selena wants me to make banana bread. That's why it goes in the freezer. Yeah. So God loves us so much that he wants us to live forever and live with him. That's what this is. So we could have eternal life. Eternal life means forever and ever and ever. Okay, so now here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise a hand. Now, if you know your right from your left, raise your right hand, but it doesn't really matter. Okay, so if you know that God loves you, raise it high, okay? Raise your left hand if you're happy that Jesus took your place as a sacrifice. Now wave them all over if you're just so happy that you get to live someday in heaven with God. How cool is that? That's way cool. Okay, let's put our hands down and we're going to pray, okay? So calm your bodies and your minds. Dear Lord, I thank you for all the children, for all of us as children, and for all the children here. Dear Lord, let the children come to us, and let us be childlike in our wonder and awe and love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now you can go back with your parents, or you can go to children's time downstairs. Thank you.
This is time for our scripture reading. The first reading is from Mark. It was originally written to encourage the Roman Christians, including the children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let those little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The second reading is from John and is the focus of the entire gospel, and you may have heard it sometime recently. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." These are the words of God for the people of God.
Today, right after worship, of course, you're invited to come join us in the fellowship hall. And you can have cookies and treats and coffee. After that, you have the ability to go anywhere you choose without asking permission. Well, most of you. But some of that which we enjoy, of course, is a gift of God, but some of that which we enjoy has been secured and held by our veterans. And I would invite all who have served in the armed forces, would you please stand right now? And I didn't even ask people to clap. We can't help ourselves because we thank you. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy, and we do enjoy the freedom we have. In the fall, I'm mindful of some special bike rides. Of course, you can ride bikes all the time, but we used to live in a town on the Rum River. It's one of the beautiful rivers in Minnesota. And in the fall, when the leaves would come down and the leaves would be like colored snow. Maybe you've seen it in just these past weeks. And the leaves come down and your bike wheels go over them and they're crisp and they crunch under your wheels. When Joan and I, we have three little guys. They're not little. But anyway, I'll keep calling them that. And they'll keep rolling their eyes. They were little. And we just sold it this summer, our tandem, because we just decided we're pretty sure we're not going to have any more kids. Pretty sure. But we had this tandem bike, and we used to go through town, and in the fall days, there was one day, we had one of our sons, I won't say which one, but he loved sitting on that bike so much and feeling the wind. He'd be on that back seat and he'd go like this and feel the wind, and I could feel him tug, and then one time I didn't feel anything. And I looked back and he's rolling on the street. And he didn't cry or anything. But boy, it was startling. But we would ride down to the river and pick up sticks and rocks and throw them. And you get a boy in a riverbank full of rocks. And there's a day right there. And you take a handful of gravel and you see that splash in. Or you find a smooth rock or a lumpy rock. And you just do that. And we would do these things. And one time, one of our boys found a beaver dam under construction, and we'd go there week after week and see the progress. And we looked at, there was a tree that was felled. It was that thick around. And it, you know, when beavers have at it, and that they come to a point, we'd feel where the beavers ate on it. And our boys would thank me. And they were so excited. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for showing me the beaver dam again. Let's go again tomorrow. Jesus said that we, as children of the living God, are to receive, to accept the blessings of God, the gifts of God, the realm of God, the kingdom of God, as children. As children. The gifts we receive, and oh, don't we receive the gifts. You and I, as we come here today, we come from different, well, all our paths are different that have led us here. Some of us, some in this congregation right now, are first generation in this country. Some are second, third, 15th. But as we come from North America, we come from Europe, from Asia. Some of us have native blood in us. Some of us have African blood. And some of us, like me, well, you've probably heard Heinz 57. You know, we're just good, healthy mutts. And we're a jumble. But how and why did we come here? All through, well, we have very many reasons, but a lot of it comes to freedom. Some come to escape to get away right now. And all through the history of this country, people have come here to get away from persecution. And I could tell you about just about any century, but I'm going to focus on the 1600s. This group came to get away from all the rules so that they could worship as they, not as they pleased, not as they saw fit, but as they saw faithful. Can you imagine leaving your home, leaving the people around you, and traveling for over a month to start a new life so that you can worship freely, like we do now? Well, they did that, and in this group, it was called the Massachusetts Bay Colony. In the northeast United States, it wasn't the United States then, they came to worship. And they came and they found freedom, but then they set rules and parameters. And there was one guy who didn't fit in at all. His name was Roger Williams. And he couldn't worship the way they did. He went his own way. And so much so that they were going to deport him. They were going to send him back. Isn't this the story of families and friendships? Oh, we can't put up with that, Roger. You're going to have to go. So Roger snuck out, and he went down, and he went along the coast, and he bought land from Native Americans, Indians. He bought it from them, and he named this land. He named this area Gift. Well, he didn't call it Gift. He called it Providence. And it still stands as a place today. Providence is a word that I just don't hear it very much now. It comes from providing. Now, some hold and mark that it's similar to fate or destiny, but it's not that. It's recognizing that what we have is gift. And when we consider providence, when we consider the gifts, we know and we acknowledge that there is a gift giver and we are gift receivers. When we consider providence from the side of the gift giver, who we can go ahead and name here, it's God. We recognize the nature a little more of God, that God gives, that it's God's will to give, to bless, and not to coerce, not to force. You may know the 23rd Psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." As much as God wants goodness and mercy in our lives, God will not force us. For God so loved the world that God gave His Son. God so loves the world that God does not force His Son. We are not forced to have salvation. It's offered as a gift. And so the gift is there for us to accept or to turn down. We are, I mentioned this last week and the week before, we're in the month of Thanksgiving. And I do invite you to stretch it out for more than just a day. Just think about our hand. If you could, just look at your own hand and do this once. I'm not going to ask you to sing while you do motions. You know, we were doing that earlier, and there's one little guy, he and I had a shared moment of panic. I've got to sing and do motions at the same time. But just look at that. Do you know how much it would cost to build something that can do this? And there we have it. And I don't right now have to think, okay, pinky finger, down, 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 stop. I can just do it. And there are 29 bones in here. 29 joints. I can't number the muscles, the ligaments. You know, the ligaments that attach the muscles to the bones and the bones to each other? There's over 100 right in here. And you have one just like this. You know, this hand here, this hand has changed spark plugs. This hand is, it's changed diapers. And I've washed it since then. And what you can do with your hand, well, some hands that are so well trained can do this. Some hands here can do this and can build this and the inside of this. And I'm just talking about our hands. Next week, we'll talk about the foot. But to consider the foot and what it includes, and or the ear, and what an amazing instrument this is and the inside of it, or our hair, our eyes and what we're able to take in, or to think about, well, this here, it's little, but it's an animal cracker. To get this little animal cracker here, somebody had to till up some land one day. And then they had to plant, and then they had to let it be. But they didn't just let it be. The seeds that went into the ground, they needed water, and just the right amount of water, not too much and not too little. And God let it rain on the water. And when it doesn't rain, God has designed human minds to make it so that we can irrigate. And we could do that. And then not only did it have to grow with just the right amount of water, not too much, not too little, then it had to be picked. Could you go to the next slide? It had to be, oh, I forgot about this little guy here. That little bacteria. I remember this from biology class. Bob Schwab's class, he said, you owe your very lives to nitrogen-fixing bacteria. He'd say that again and again. I thought it was strange for a person to get so excited about bacteria, but it's true. We can't even see this. It's in the ground now, working right now, deep down in, making food for roots. While you sleep, while you wake, while you watch movies, that nitrogen-fixing bacteria God has created to feed us. So that works, and the roots and the plants grow, and they get just enough water, and then it's plucked and harvested and sorted and transported, and it's milled and it's ground down, and then it's mixed with some special ingredients until we get this. Which reminds me of a cookie walk, which is coming up. Where there will be more than 24 of these, just waiting for you. But just think, and the forms, and I'm only talking about wheat. You and I, we live like queens and kings here. We can walk across the street today and get fine chocolate from exotic places like Belgium or Hershey, Pennsylvania. We can choose and have anything we want. And it was mentioned here before, but just to think of drinkable water. And it pours. It pours out of fountains in the hallways. It pours into glasses. It pours and sifts through coffee grounds. We can shower in it and bathe in it, and not everyone in the world gets it. But we do, as much as we want. Just to consider all the gifts that we have. And back to the hand. This hand here, one day, went on a date. And had a fine old time holding another hand. And this hand here, just over the weekend, held hands in prayer. Just think of all that you've been able to do with your own. And what a gift that is. I invite you not just to a season of thanks, but in this day, right now, in this sacred place we call sanctuary, we're going to take another offering. Not cash, though, and not checks or credit cards. What we're going to do is you have in your own bulletin or one right next to you, you have a note card. What I would like you to do is consider this note card, and if you don't have one, please look to the person next to you and grab one, or just scribble it on a piece of paper. I invite you to doodle or to write down some words, but this piece of paper is between you and God. As I'm speaking now, there are things in your life for which you're thankful. And isn't it right to give thanks? And isn't it right to take a pause and take a moment? And that's what I invite you to do now. What we'll do is we'll take a moment and we'll write this out, and then the ushers will come and we will take our second offering. And I'm not going to snoop through these. These are between you and God. But we will present these at the altar as a faithful and living thanks to God. So take a moment right now and write down one or two or three, or draw a picture of some things for which you're thankful. You, before we take this in baskets, to look at the list. There is something clarifying in the thanks we give. When you think of all that you have in your life, the things that you wrote down, the people that you wrote down, look at them and notice who and what is important in your life. You just chose. And then I have a challenge. How do you get more? How do you get more of what you just wrote down? The love, the friendship, the dear ones in your life. Even if you wrote chocolate, how do you get more? All this is gift. I invite the ushers to take this offering. Thank you. Dear God, for the bounty in our lives, for the breath of life, for our hands, our hearts, our ears, our minds, for each one dear in our hearts, for everything on these lists, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Of course, God loves to hear our prayers. Prayers of thanks and praise and thanks and prayers for the trials in our lives and for the prayers we have for one another. I invite you to look at the back of your bulletin where you'll see some people we've been praying for, and we continue to pray. Of course, I invite you to take this list home and let it be a reminder for you. But we'll pray for Doris, who's over in Sierra Leone now, and her trip now is more, well, it's logistics, but it's a trip of celebration because they've been declared Ebola-free. What a gift that is. So we'll pray for Doris and all the people in caring ministries, but also be mindful of the prayers of your heart. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you do hear us whenever we pray. We thank you that you hear us wherever we pray. Hear us now, dear God. Hear us as we pray for Doris and all who are on mission, either very close in Simpson housing or in Wesley serving, all who are serving within these walls and around Bloomington and throughout Minnesota, and all who serve around the world. We ask for your care and your blessings. Hear us, dear God, as we ask healing mercies on Don and John, on Julia, on Red, on Pat and Twyla. Dear God, hear us as we pray for Janet and for Jim. Lord, hear these our prayers. Hear us as we pray for peace in your world. For all who would choose war, we ask, dear God, for you to stir in their hearts and bring peace. For all who are driven away because of trials, we ask, dear God, for safety. And we ask, dear God, to hear the quiet prayers of our hearts. Hear us, dear God, as we pray in the quiet now. Mighty God, we lift these prayers to you in our hope, through our hope, by our hope, by the Holy Spirit who lives and reigns with you and with Jesus Christ. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our hymn of thanks?
Give thanks for the grateful heart. Give thanks.
Jesus, the eternal Word, tells us for any of us to enjoy the kingdom of God, for any of us to enjoy the blessings of God, we're to enjoy them as children. Receive it as gift. May you be blessed to enjoy the gifts that God richly pours out in your life. May you be blessed by the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.